you think any of you want to talk about that webinar at all for your report? I'm not.
I wasn't going to, but anytime you want. Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the work session of the North Salt Lake City Council for September 6th, 2022. And we will start with Hatch Park funding option. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to turn most of this discussion over to Heidi, but I wanted to express a couple of things before I do that. First, we're very excited to report back to the City Council on this topic. It's something we've spent a lot of time working on. Heidi, in particular, has done some great analysis of where we are. I think you'll be pleased with what you'll hear tonight, and at least now having the information, you'll be able to give us some direction and think through what your next steps, what you want those to be. But second, this is also an opportunity during our discussion, though this is not the main point of the discussion, the mayor and I can update the council on the status of the parks, the South Davis Recreation District's efforts on the park, and I'll wait in the discussion until we do that to hand out a sheet of paper that the mayor and I presented to the district. These would be draft terms of any agreement that we would enter into moving forward. Those terms were just prepared so that we could assist the district in one of their meetings, but we made it clear, and in fact it says on this piece of paper, that they have to be approved by the governing body of the city. So at the right time, I'll share those with you, but the purpose of our discussion tonight is really to report back to you on how to fund Hatch Park and some other improvements. And so, we'll, having said that, I'll turn this over to Heidi. And you saw a lot of information in your packet on this as well. So, but she'll lead our discussion today.
Thank you. So this was an interesting project to come in to take a look at all of the various funding streams, because I think that was the biggest challenge, right? We knew what we wanted to do. We knew there were pieces of funding kind of all over, some that was more easily accessible than others, and then looking at the timing of that and plugging that into a plan to cover all that we wanted to accomplish was a little bit tricky. So in your packet, of course, there's a narrative that explains all of the different revenue streams, the challenges and opportunities with each of them, as well as probably really, really small schedules that show running out those schedules through the term of the debt, which would be a 30-year bond, which is what would be contemplated for this type of project. So to begin, I took a look at all of the projects that, as I was aware of the meetings that we've had that have been considered over the last 6+ months, big one being the Hatch Park project with that option one from the G. Brown design that was selected by both the Hatch Park committee and then the Parks and Arts. What is the acronym for that? Ted, what is that that you always call that?
PTAR.
PTAR, thank you.
We need a new one.
Okay, great. So looking at that combined amount in conjunction with Tunnel Springs improvements that we wanted to do on the landslide property, as well as the potential bringing in a community center and a concession building into that overall park project, total cost on that from what we've been given to date using both G. Brown's estimates as well as some staff estimates is $25,160,000. The $1 million is highlighted in red. We are covering that this fiscal year. It's kind of a preliminary phase of the overall plan, and we're using capital, impact fee revenues, reserves that have come in over the last 2 to 3 years. So let's talk about available resources, and these are somewhat ordered in most restrictive to least restrictive. So most restrictive being wrap taxes specific to parks and those types of expenditures. So the city generates about $620,000 a year in wrap tax revenues. It's based on sales tax. Historically, sales tax grows about 4.5% per year. So in coming up with a plan to fund that debt, actually, if I go back, you can see estimated debt on it would be the $24,160,000 is about $1.36 million a year. So a pretty big number. So back to the available resources, wrap tax at $620,000 a year. We currently have obligated $260,000 a year in existing debt through June of 2030, and that's for Legacy Park and the other improvements that were done at Tunnel Springs. This does have to be reauthorized every year. We're due again for a 10-year reauthorization in 2027, so it has to go on a ballot. I know we are looking at the potential of trying to get legislation passed and supported that would let this funding mirror any existing debt that was taken out, somewhat like how a general obligation bond would work. That remains to be seen. So that does leave that remaining balance that could be put towards that $1.3 million annual payment. Next is impact fees. We collect about $300,000 a year, just depending on development cycles and building cycles. We're currently bringing in about $110,000 a year from police impact fees are coming into, that was incorrect. That's on the capital fund. We have a commitment of $110,000 a year towards existing debt that gets transferred to the building authority to pay off debt on the land acquisition on the other properties that were acquired, I think, back in 2016. That expires in June of 2027. The difficulty with relying on impact fees for debt service is collections are pretty unpredictable. So, for example, in 2020, I think we recorded about $700,000 in impact fees. Closing out 2021 or 2022, it was $160,000. So that $300,000 average is really, it's an average. It's definitely not as stable as either a sales tax or a property tax. The next is our capital projects fund balance. So we, at the end of this fiscal year, we'll have about $5 million, just a little over $5 million in unrestricted fund balance. We do have some restricted fund balance because it's debt that's actually a loan to the golf course that's waiting to be repaid. But what is available is the $5 million. I wanted, of course, the council to be aware that half of that balance is one-time funding that has come in over the last 2 years and been transferred in, so not a real sustainable source of revenue coming in every year, with the exception of $100,000 that comes in from police impact fees that is a repayment for the debt on this building. A difficulty with this is it can be reserved for rainy day funds. It can be used for anything. It's going to be competing with any other capital projects that the city wants to do or limit our ability to engage in other activities and other infrastructure projects if we spend this on the park.
Heidi, quick question.
Yes.
How long does it take to pay that bond back?
That's a 30-year bond.
Okay.
That $1.3 million is a 30-year. There's two additional financial resources that, as I did some research and looked into what our options would be, these both would require additional action by the council. So the first is the use of tax increment. We've got three project areas in the works. Redwood Road, we have finished the obligation to pay off the developer. That agreement is entirely paid in full. The only obligation annually for that is to pay 10% of the increment for the housing component and then 5% for administration. That leaves $650,000 a year in unrestricted funds that could be allocated to other projects. There is state statute that does allow you to use tax increment from outside of the project area in other areas, so long as it complements the overall plan and is an overall community benefit. It can be demonstrated. I believe that this project at Hatch Park absolutely would do that, especially if we were to look at both project areas contributing some unallocated funds to make that debt payment, because it is a kind of a regional park, especially if we're talking about a community center. Highway 89 similarly has about $330,000 that a year that would be available to go towards debt service payments after meeting the housing portion and the administrative portion once the developer obligation is met. That should be, based on running out some projections, fiscal year 2026. Keep in mind that there, even if we were to use some of this funding for part of the plan, the way I have proposed it and fit when I show you the phases, it would leave some remaining increment revenues to put towards other projects within the project area. I know at one point we looked at a series of things that were desirable to bring in that were part of the original project area plan. It would leave some funding for that in each of the projects. And then last would be a tax increase, either through a general obligation bond, which would require the city to put essentially a ballot measure to go out and incur that debt for a very specific project, for a very specific timeline. The benefit of that is you get public outreach, you get public input on how the community receives engaging in that kind of activity and taking on that financial burden. And then probably the last and least desirable is truth and taxation. Again, both of those, the benefit of a tax increase is you're engaging the public and making a formal public process. So with that in mind, staff is recommending that splitting the project to complete both the Hatch Park improvements as well as Tunnel Springs, the landslide, the community center, and the concessions in two phases with two separate issuances of debt, one in fiscal year 2023 and one in fiscal year 2026. This takes the best advantage of existing debt rolling off in the next 5 to 7 years and additional obligations, freeing up funds to be able to move forward and make that large $1.3 million payment. Another priority would be to, like I said, prioritize those annual payments to the most restricted to the least restrictive. So if impact fees did come in at a $700,000 level 1 year, maybe we wouldn't pull from the capital reserves. The intent would be for the first little while, if you look at that pro forma that runs out for the first 10 years, to backfill the $1.3 million with capital reserves if needed. Hopefully, we would be able to cover it with the tax increment and impact fees and wrap tax revenues. The last recommendation is to consider that general obligation bond for that second phase to determine public interest and support. Keep in mind the second phase would be the actual buildings, the community center and the concessions. So if we look at phase one, it would the proposal would be, and this is just based on cost estimates that we have now, bonding for a little over $20 million. This portion of the debt would be $1.1 million a year in payments. The Hatch Park portion would be 926 of that. So the proposal is 300 from wrap tax, 400 from that tax increment from Redwood Road, and then 226,500 from capital reserves. with the hope that if RAP tax and increment came in higher, we would lower that amount for capital reserves. Tunnel Springs improvements and Eagle Point Landside, both of those projects are very compatible with impact fee revenues. And so the proposal would be to fund that portion and that, $210,000 of the project using impact fees. The second phase would involve using tax increment from the Highway 89 project. So this would come in 2026. That's about when that developer obligation comes off, or if the council at that time determines to go out for a general obligation bond or go through truth and taxation. The payment on that would be about $216,000 a year, and that would cover the cost of the community center and the concession building based on the costs given to us by G. Brown. I think this is the last slide I have before questions, but next steps would be requesting that council give permission to staff to get some more information from our financial advisors, look at interest rates. We will definitely need to go through the ratings process to take out that kind of debt. We would also need to assemble the redevelopment agency and look at a potential rewrite of the project area plan. It is already somewhat contemplated in the original plan, spending the funding on parks infrastructure. It's just the specific language about spending outside of the project area itself, the legal description of the project area. And then the last thing that I would recommend, and this is just being a finance person and based on construction projects that I've seen at the county, is when we go to bid projects, we consider some value engineering options to see what kind of savings we can get in these projects. The Hatch Park plan itself, if you go back to the beginning, it's got about $2.6 million in contingencies. I think if there's ways that we can go back and look at some of those very specific things that they've put in there, make sure that we're willing to spend the money on that and see if there's some other savings to be had so that we can maybe get that debt down just a little bit more as well. Were there any questions? I think I've got a... These are the slides from the original presentation back in June.
I have a question that might be for David or Ken. I'm not familiar with the component of the parks plan that includes the Eagle Slide passive landscaping and Tunnel Springs Park. What is going on with that piece?
Yeah, great question. So Tunnel Springs has about 11 to 12 acres of undeveloped property. That's the improvement we're talking about. And so I think when we originally spoke about this project, we didn't want to leave out consideration of Tunnel Springs and the completion of Tunnel Springs. And so that's why we've included it. And then the other area is the Eagle Point Landslide area, which has been fully remediated. And the $1 million that we're estimating is really, Heidi used a good word earlier with me today. It's kind of a budget placeholder. We don't really have a plan right now to make improvements on that site. There's lots of things we can't do with it. We can't irrigate it. We can't put grass on it. We can put trails through it. We could do a bicycle pump track, which is previous council members had that idea. There's lots of things, though, that would restrict us. We're not going to put buildings on it. We could do some intensive planting, but we can't do irrigation. And so we don't even have to spend $1 million on the Eagle Point Landslide project. I just put that in there because it's basically unimproved right now, and we've had some ideas come up. And so I also don't want to forget that that's a piece of open space that we haven't really talked about. So in both the case of Tunnel Springs and Eagle Point Landslide, we have more planning to do. Those are just kind of placeholders. and estimates today.
Ken, when you, I know we can't put structures on that, but can we put like pickleball courts, or is that?
We might be able to put pickleball courts on a piece of that property. Yeah, I think there's a line that we can't cross, so we can't get close to the edge of the top of the hill, but it's likely that we could do something like pickleball courts. The idea is to not put a bunch of additional weight, sure, and certainly not moisture on the top of that hill, because those are the two things that will cause further damage, further landslides. But we could. We probably could put pickleball courts.
In an earlier discussion, when we were talking about Hatch Park Improvement Plan, some council members had brought up a concern that in a retracting economy, we might not as a council want to be seen as spending excess money on additional parks. And so I am not sold on either option, but I do want to voice an option and concern at that those two additions, that Tunnel Springs and Eagle Point landslide don't feel like eminent concerns, that we're solving a problem or a relevant request, whereas Hatch Park is something that's been in the works for a long time and really is ready for redevelopment. So potentially I'm interested in passing all of this with those two components removed, but I'm not sold on that. I am open to other ideas.
Can I just say something? I think, like you say, these are placeholders. And we've talked about, like you say, pump track. Some of these costs would probably mostly just be in parking lot or something. The track itself isn't going to be very expensive. So, and I think, you know, when people are looking at, especially voting for a bond that would be a general obligation bond, they kind of look at their own neighborhoods as well. So I think it's good to include these two items in there.
Then so shouldn't we include something from Foxborough?
I think we already have. We've got the wetland project down there. That's already, so that's going to be happening around this. So I think with the three, then we're engaging the whole community in that. My only concern was, is I took a little walk around. Well, I've been to several parks recently, and I talked to Ken about this a little bit, and that's our trees. You know, our trees are just getting to the point now where they're getting pretty good sized and big, and it just makes me cringe to think that we have to start with a clean slate. And maybe I misinterpreted some things, but certainly some of the trees on the west side of the thing and stuff, I'm just thinking if we can maybe look at the plan a little bit differently and figure out a way to keep the trees that we can keep. I think that's my concern, because when we went to Layton's Park up there and for a little event here a couple of weeks ago, and you know, they didn't have some of these fancy things we are proposing in here, but you know, the great big trees were a big asset. And so I hate to see us getting rid of the current trees to put small trees in just so we have a different shape of the park. So that was probably my only concern that I have here. If there's a way we can design it to utilize the trees we already have. I've just been around long enough to see trees get planted and grow up big and then chopped down again, and it just kind of breaks my heart. That's all I have to say.
Any other questions for Heidi?
I think if we haven't been super clear tonight, and I think Heidi has, let me just restate what I think we've heard, which is the process would be to complete Hatch Park, to issue debt, and use, if we could go back to the phase one repayment slide, and use the repayment strategies that Heidi has shown here, we have a path forward without raising property tax right now and without a general obligation bond. And I kind of like this plan because phase one improvements make sense to me. I think we've worked on those for a long, long time. Phase two improvements, that is a community center and the idea of some additional buildings where we would have maybe some retail uses or concessions, makes sense to me that we would go out and ask the public if those are important needs for the public. It also seems to me that Hatch Park, the expansion of Hatch Park, can stand alone if phase two never happens. And so it's a logical way to divide this project into two pieces, and it makes it more feasible, particularly if the council is willing to carve off Tunnel Springs and carve off the Eagle Point landslide. That $4 million makes it even more affordable if we take that out at the beginning and save it for a future issue. Now, I know that there are a lot of people who want us to complete Tunnel Springs Park. I hear no outcry on the landslide property. I think people assume that nothing's ever going to happen there. And that's a good assumption, because we've always said we're not going to build houses, we're not going to put buildings there. What you see is really essentially what it's going to be. And so, anyway, I wanted to kind of explain how we kind of looked at it, but also that phase one is very doable today if you'd like to proceed with the Hatch Park expansion.
Can I ask a follow-up question? So passing the resolution or the plan as it's presented here would not require us to spend that money at Tunnel Springs or at Eagle Point. It just allows us the option to in the future. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and we're really not taking action tonight. I think we're reporting back to the council as you asked us to do, but also if the council is able to give us direction this evening, there are a few things that we would want to put on future agendas, like these resolutions related to using tax increment revenues from different project areas. We'd want to formalize that so that we can actually spend that money when we need to.
Let's see, one question and one comment. The question is, how conservative or liberal are the assumptions, let's say, behind the tax increment revenue? I mean, are we pretty confident in those? Do we think that they could be higher, they could be lower?
Sure. Go ahead. The nice thing about the tax increment and property tax, that's a really stable income source, unlike sales tax, which is really subject to things like recessions. Property tax is collectible. Eventually, at some point, you'll collect because a property will be delinquent. So we can plan on growth of about 2.5% per year, probably a little bit more in project areas that are still under construction. So the assumption that I used was, though, that 2.5%.
But it sounds like also you're saying that's conservative because there could be more construction.
Exactly.
Okay.
Those revenue streams have been growing since we started them every year.
What is the risk of depleting the capital reserve account?
So the way the projections have been run out is to essentially use about $226,000 to backfill to make that payment. If we did have more come in that tax increment and wrap tax revenues remain steady, again, revenues and sales tax, which is wrap tax, has been growing closer to 11%. My projections are about 5.5%, which would accommodate a couple of years of flat revenues, which I also put in for fiscal year 2023, this current fiscal year, and the next fiscal year. That's what we saw in the last recession, was that essentially our sales tax revenues were flat. So that is built into the calculation. The intent is to not deplete. We're using five different funds, and the intent is to not deplete any one fund at any given time and to leave plenty of fund balance in there. So if you take a look at those spreadsheets, there's companion spreadsheets for each of the different funds that run it out through the same time period, but also plug in existing obligations and growth rates. Again, that I feel are conservative and take into account the current economic climate.
Okay, and then just my one comment then is it might, one option might be to look at the Tunnel Springs improvements in phase two. And the advantage might be that it's just a little bit more conservative. A, B, construction costs might come down. Possibly. So at least something to noodle on and consider as a small permutation in this game plan.
Yeah, I think that would be wise. One thing, I think that's one of the reasons why I brought up that value engineering at that $16 million price tag. Those were February numbers. Can we recast those with current construction costs, which we know things like lumber, and I don't know how much lumber this project is going to be, but we know there's certain things that are have come down significantly from when we got the quote back or the development plan. Plus, we got the architecture plan. That's where I said we could maybe involve some of this value engineering. That might be enough savings to throw in one of these other projects without having to bond for the full $20 million. That would be my hope.
I totally understand why we would explore value engineering. I break out in hives a little bit every time I hear that because I've seen what it's done to projects. Anyway, that's an aside.
It used to be a great idea, and then it turned into, what are we going to cut and call it value engineering? And it's like, oh, did you want the parking lot paved? Oh, well, that, we value engineered that right out. And
we've decided to make the buildings out of adobe.
Well, the county has been successful in using value engineering for their last two library projects, and that was a really eye-opening. That was the first time I had heard of it, and I didn't think it was possible either, but sometimes you get these really glamorous designs with expensive materials, and they were able to find some ways to cut costs using adobe.
I've seen some really awesome adobe things, by the way.
Is there a chance that part of this community center could be a library? Is that something that we're talking with them about?
We have talked to them about that. We're a lot more committed to the idea than they are, but we've raised that issue with them.
And you know, they didn't tell us no.
They didn't tell us no.
You know, so
I like the idea of bonding for phase two because I feel like that's a great time to ask the residents, is this a value to you? Is this something that you want to do? And I think Hatch Park will be fabulous with or without it. I would support phase two, right? I would be on the front line saying, let's pass this bond. But I do think that that's a good way to do it, is just to maybe put that before the residents and see if that's something that they're interested in. Would that be at the same time period that we would have to renew our RAP tax?
It would be probably the year before.
The year before.
So I think we need to talk about that because the timing of that might be a problem. If we're saying, hey, raise this tax for the park, and then a year later we're saying, hey, keep this tax for parks, they might feel like we're being disingenuous or not understand what we're actually doing. So politically.
Go ahead.
I was just going to mention another consideration with the community session or community center and concession stand. There's going to be additional operating costs that are going to go with that. And that's why I think at that point, if we do decide to go that route, we would want to recast, see what resources the city is now going to have to. Are we going to have to hire more employees? What kind of operating costs are we going to be expending to maintain that facility going forward? So I think at that point, then we're committing just basic general fund revenues to make that project work long-term and be an asset to the city. So,
but all those things can be included in a general obligation bond as well. So the one thing that the public may or may not understand is that a GO bond is going to be a property tax, and the RAP tax will always be a sales tax. And so there are definitely advantages to the RAP tax. We collect sales tax from all kinds of people who don't live here, you know, those, all those other people that we don't really care for. No, that's not true. But the fact is that sales tax is a very robust way to pay for some of these things, and that's really one of the geniuses behind wrap tax, is that it's at the cash register, and it's been really successful for many, many communities in the state. So I'm hopeful that our residents will understand that. Maybe we need to do some educating, not advocating, but educating. They have renewed it in our community before, and so hopefully they'll do it again.
Ron holds it as one of his big achievements when he was sitting here, that he was one of the people who was like demanding that we do the wrap tax.
Yeah.
And he had some people who didn't like it, but they went along with it, and now it's been great.
You know what changed my mind on it? Because I'd started on the council like, never vote yourself a tax increase, you know. And so we didn't. And all the cities around us did. And so we were all paying it. We just weren't getting any benefit from it. Every time we went to Costco, we were paying it. But it never came back to us. And so we put it right back on the ballot the next year, and it passed. And I think the citizens have been pretty supportive of it. Ken, do you want to... I'm still a little fuzzy on how does this look? Do we just plant grass where the rec center's going and hope they come? Or what if they don't? Those kind of things. You want to talk about that?
Let's go to the park plan if we could, Heidi. Thanks. Let me just take one of these and pass that down. This is related to this conversation. So on the screen here, you have the rec center on approximately 3.5 acres of the 15.5 acres that we are going to develop. It's a wonderful part of the park, and I believe it would be a wonderful benefit to Hatch Park and to the city if the rec district comes to the table and determines that it can both afford and have the will to do this rec center. I think that's in jeopardy at the moment, and the mayor could speak more about that because those are his peers on the board. He's on the board. The document I just passed out is the general terms that we submitted to the board. And again, I'll just remind the council so that you don't get too angry with me for putting this in writing. Without running it by you, it says that it has to still be approved by the governing body. And so just so you know, we don't bind the city without the city council's knowledge. But I think in the notes, you'll see that we're committing to possibly improve that area with grass or other improvements, but that we would keep it free of permanent improvements for a period of 3 years. This document was written before the board took some action on August 9th. And the action that they took was to vote to not put the rec center, this project, on the ballot for a general obligation bond this year. I was at that meeting, as was the mayor, and I've done a little bit of discussing with other city managers where the reps are voted no on that GO bond issue. And I'm not certain that board is going to move forward. They may. But there's some significant opposition, I think, to expansion. So we just don't know. And I don't mean to introduce more doubt than really exists, but that's just what I think I saw in the meeting. And Mayor, if you want to clarify.
Yeah, let me jump in. One of the problems we had is that we just happened to have a lot of turnover this year, a lot of new people on the board. And so the history wasn't there. And when you talk about unfortunate events, the previous board was all very supportive of this, but they decided to put it off a year, I think because of COVID, basically. And in that year that it was tabled, costs went up $6 million. And then a new board's coming on. And we were looking at some trends that were COVID-related but not favorable in the existing facility. And so the decision was made, let's get the house in order before we take another bite. And it passed 5-3. So it wasn't unanimous by any means. And I joined, I was one of the three, and my thinking was, let's move forward and get our house in order simultaneously. But I think everyone on there had made a commitment that this was what they want to do going forward. And if the rec center can right the ship, so to speak, I mean, let's face it, revenues were down. People stopped going. They closed the rec center for 8 months or something, you know, during COVID. And so it's been impacted. And even Bountiful, you know, was a little, we're working on some other things to try to get that 50-meter pool put in without impacting their park. And I'm optimistic. But I think it'll go forward. So, but we'll see. I think our goal should be to have a plan in place either way. But I think it was important that we show support for this coming to Hatch Park, and that was the purpose of our letter. So we were reassuring the board and everyone that we're in this, and if you can't do it this year, we'll hold out even if.
So, Mayor, time. I think not to think too much out loud here in front of everybody, but I think it would be good if the city and the district could put an agreement together, even though they've decided to wait another year. That might tie up one of the loose ends that some of the board members, they kind of were concerned that maybe we're not on board, but it would be helpful to have that agreement. And I think if the council's on board with that, I would work with the district staff to get an agreement put together that we could bring to the council and to the rec board to have this plan happen. I think it would commit the district in a way that they don't have now, and it would commit us also.
I have a question about the library option. Is it either or, either the rec center or a library, or could it still be both?
No, it can be both. That the building south of the kiddie pool, I think it's number mm-hmm. 21, mm-hmm. that's the community center, the city's community center. And so we would propose that be built in a way that would allow for a library.
Is there a library board or advisory committee similar to the South Davis Rec Committee that the mayor sits on that a member of the city council could volunteer for?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
There is a there's a library director. But I don't believe there may be a board. I haven't heard of it. Have you? Do you know of such a thing?
There is a library board. It's composed of the director, I believe an elected official at the county level, so one of the commissioners is assigned to be on that board, and then I think three at-large seats.
Okay, so there might be an opportunity there.
And then I feel no need to hold up any of this planning to make the decision about Tunnel Springs Park or Equal Point. It's a lot of work and it's impressive, and I think it's fantastic. There's no need to wait to decide if we're and how we're using that money.
Well, just correct that. That's, we're talking about that all in phase two. Is that correct? Are we thinking of using some of the money?
I think we're discussing, I think the council is discussing what you want in phase one and what you want in phase two.
Okay.
So the buildings would be phase two.
Okay, what about the Tunnel Spring improvements and?
So those are, phase one with impact fees. And what I would propose is that we take this data and go out to our financial advisors and have them look at current bonding rates. And we might come back with rates and a proposal that immediately helps us make that decision even more clear, because the total annual debt on this phase one of 1.146 was based on some projections given to us back in June. And we've since had an interest rate increase. Also keep in mind, when things are more favorable, the city has been very good about restructuring their debt. So.
And I think the important thing also on phase one is when you look at the proposed source of making bond payments being impact fee revenues, if you decide not to include Tunnel Springs and the Eagle Point property in the phase one project, you can still collect and save your impact fees. So those will be there whenever you decide to do the project.
True, you could save and do a pay-as-you-go plan for those projects at a later date.
Or just borrow less, or whatever the case may be.
Or offset the capital reserves and not impact and leave that intact.
True, also.
Well, I appreciate all the work that's been done on this, and it looks like a good plan to me.
And I will echo that, and also just grateful there's a plan forward here. It's like we've been talking about this, and how do we get there? And now we have a plan.
Amen. Me three.
I just want to add that there is a library board meeting Thursday at 1:00 at the library in Farmington.
When we met, prior to meeting with them, it was dead in my mind. They were going to rebuild the Bountiful Library, and they still very well may. But they dangled a little bit of hope at us. It was...
They have a new director that's just been in the position a little under 2 years, who might think a little differently about projects than the former director. So,
I think and the position that I took that I've taken for a while. So prior to Mayor Horrocks, Mayor Arvey and I met and threw out the idea that, look, if the city is willing to build a building, would the library be willing to put a book collection together and staff it as a library? And so I think that's a good deal for the county library system. I don't know that we've been super successful persuading them that it's a good deal. It has to actually be a priority for them before it feels like it's a good deal. To them, it feels like it's an added cost so far. So maybe we do need some advocacy from council members.
It would be interesting. One of the things they've been looking at as they've been developing their libraries is more community space. They haven't needed the room for the collections, and so they're repurposing everything because so much has gone digital. And what they need is these technology hubs where people can come, especially our indigent populations, and have ability, like they did in Clearfield, to check out an iPad and do that. And so that's been a big focus for them, not so much the collections and that. So it's kind of, they're rethinking how libraries fit the community.
And this would be a perfect spot for that type of a library, I think, fit in with our goals very well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Anything else for Heidi before we dismiss her?
I just wanted to say that your list of next steps, where we start looking at bond ratings and all of that, I feel comfortable moving forward with that list of next steps.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So we take a break for a couple of minutes and reconvene.
I make a motion that we take a break.
Okay.
Okay.